Hello everyone, I'm Pastor Steve at the Wilton Baptist Church. I hope you're doing well today as we continue our Bible study in our scatter groups and in our in-person at home studies that we have going on here. I'm so glad you've tuned in. There's a lot of things to pray for in our world today. Let's pray for brothers and sisters in Christ who are hiding or fleeing or who are facing death right now in Afghanistan. And a lot of Christians are being killed and murdered and girls assaulted and attacked as this country is being overrun by these Islamist terrorists. And so let's pray for our brothers and sisters in Christ, also our military and people there as they're evacuating in this kind of fiasco that's taking place. And please pray for leaders and people to know what is the right thing to do in this situation. Also, let's give thanks and pray for all the young people that we minister to at our Vacation Bible School, Mystery Island. Thank you to Pastor Rob and all the team and everybody who pitched in and got everything together for this. It was a great event, and it was really good with all the decorations, the good Bible teaching, the sound ministry there, and the effects and things that they're doing with the lights. It was all really a great thing that went on, and so thank you for that. We had a lot of visitors that came, and we met many new families as well. So please pray for continued ministry there. We're looking forward to missionary Paul Johnson this Sunday. So pray and come on out around 9:20 if you want to come early. We're having prayer time for praying for our revival meeting. That'll be a few weeks away starting on September 12th. And we're already getting ready. If you want to host a meal for the evangelist and his family, there's four people there. And then we'll probably have some others join the meal there with them. And so if you want to help with that, just sign up in the lobby there and email the church if you like to get more information about that as well. Great to see you. Let's go ahead and pray and we'll begin our study in 2 Timothy. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to meet and to gather. We thank you for our scattered groups, the small church meeting, and as they pray together and talk and converse and interact, let us learn and grow. For all the individuals, maybe couples, others that are watching or listening the replay or watching the replay, we pray that you would give them great Bible encouragement and strength, endurance in the days that we're living in. We do thank you for the kids that were impacted with the gospel, the discipleship taking place in the lives of young people and the families touched in the last few days of Vacation Bible School. We pray for continued fruits with this ministry as that rolls into Awana. We do pray for the revival meeting coming up shortly, that you would give the evangelists the words to say from the Bible that we need to hear, that we'd have hearts ready to listen. We pray you continue to unite our church in gospel ministry and in sharing the gospel. Continue to provide all that's needed as we minister one to another. And we do pray that you'll bless this study now. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite characters in exploring history is Sir Ernest Shackleton. And he navigated a ship called the Endurance towards the South Pole in an attempt in 1908 to reach the South Pole. Well, he tells a little bit about this story in his diary, and he faced such great difficulty. And I love the name of that ship, the Endurance, because he was going to endure some really amazing, incredibly difficult moments just to survive, just to stay alive. Well, here he is, Irish explorer Sir Ernest Shackleton. Here's an image of the Endurance. Also, there will be an image of the little lifeboat that they modify. They raise the wall so they can try to escape. Well, here's what happened. They went towards the South Pole, towards the Antarctic, and they came closer than anyone else to the South Pole, but 97 miles short. They had to turn back. Shackleton and his men trudged over 200 miles of ice floes, dragging a lifeboat weighing nearly a ton, taken from their ship. Their ship was crushed by all the ice. In his diary, Shackleton told of the time when their food supplies were exhausted, save for one last ration of hardtack. Hardtack's a type of dried biscuit, kind of like a big cracker, and it was distributed to each man. Some of the men took snow, melted it, made tea while consuming their biscuits. Others stowed their hardtack in their food sacks, saving it for one last moment of hungry desperation. A fire was built up. The men, they all huddled up into their sleeping bags, exhausted, and they were going to go to sleep, have a restless restless, tossing and turning night of sleep. It's still very cold, of course, in the Antarctic. Shackleton said that while he was almost asleep, he kind of noticed out of the corner of his eye one of his most trusted men sitting up in his sleeping bag. And he was looking around to see if anyone was watching. Shackleton's heart sank within him as this man began to reach towards the food sack of the man who was next to him. And Shackleton watched as the man opened the mouth of that sack and took his own hardtack and put it in the other man's food sack. Here was a soldier, a sailor. Here was a man enduring great difficulty, and he was looking out for somebody else with a type of selfless sacrifice. Enduring hardness is something that all of us will be facing in our life. All of us will have moments of desperation and difficulty. Good soldiers of God need the grace of God to endure. And there's going to be some times where we need to endure. And this passage is talking about endurance. We find it mentioned a couple times here. Notice in verse 3, we are in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 13. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So that's the guy who recruited us. Of course, that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if a man also strive for masteries, that is an athlete, somebody who's competing in athleticism, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. Players playing sports must play by the rules, is what he's saying. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. A husbandman is a farmer, and it's only right that a husbandman, a farmer, taste the fruit of his labor before anybody else. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. So Paul is in chains, but he says the Bible is not chained up. Therefore I endure, there's our word again, all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. This is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. We must endure. By God's grace, we can endure because God has empowered us. He has enabled us to endure the difficulties that we face because we're Christians following the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Here's this word, endure hardness. It's one Greek word, endure hardness. It means to suffer evil, to endure hardship, to suffer hardship or suffering. The same word, endure hardness, the same word is used, it has a different ending on it, but it's the word suffer trouble. The phrase suffer trouble is the same word as endure hardness in verse 9, and it's the same root word, it means to endure. To endure. Now Paul says in verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. The word endure there is a different word than the first time we found it in verse 3, and it's different than the word suffer trouble in verse 9. It's a word endure, which means to stay behind, to await, to endure, to wait with patience. That's what that word means. So while we're waiting, while we're going through difficulty, Paul says, I'm going to stay behind. And kind of like when he expressed to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord, to be out of this body is far much better, but I'm going to go ahead and wait, and I'm going to serve and continue while I'm on this earth. That's what we need to do as Christians as well. And you think about someone facing difficulty. Paul is in chains at this moment. He was awaiting execution. Today, right now, as I'm giving you this message, there are people, there are Christians in Afghanistan who are about to have their heads chopped off or their hearts shot by bullets because they love Jesus Christ and they will not deny him. You talk about some hardness, some difficulty. What would you do? Some Christians are hiding. Some are running away. Some Christians are waiting there and saying, I'm going to go ahead and face my executors, these Muslim terrorists, and let them know that Jesus loves them. Isn't that amazing? What would you do? I mean, it's hard for us to even imagine this difficulty they're facing. Well, Paul was facing something very similar, and he was telling Timothy, listen, if you love Jesus, you're going to have some troubles. There's going to be difficulties that come, so how do we endure in troubling times? That's the title of our lesson here today, is endurance in troubles. How do we endure in troubling times? Well, Paul gives four reasons that he endures, beginning in verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. So the reason he's enduring is because of the gospel. Jesus Christ is alive. He rose from the dead. Not only that, we find in the next verse, the Bible. He says, wherein I suffer trouble. He's like, why am I suffering? Because of the gospel. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. All right? I'm still struggling. I'm still facing persecution. I'm still having great difficulty, but I'm going to endure because of the Bible. Because the word of God is not bound, and I'll face whatever I'm facing today so that God's word can be propagated so that people can hear about Jesus and hear the word of God in some place, in some way. He says in verse 10, because of the elect, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake. Now, he's talking about people who've not yet become Christians. Someone who would trust Christ. Who's going to believe the gospel because of your endurance? I don't know. Do you know? We don't know. Your faith, your testimony, you believing God, you believing the word of God, and you enduring whatever affliction you're facing right now, whatever trouble it is, can be a testimony that God can use so that others would come to faith in Christ. Your ministry and service, Vacation Bible School, planting the seed of the Word of God in young people's hearts, ministering to families in the hallways, and some of those folks came back to church and they heard the gospel, and we can disciple them and see them grow. You have friends and co-workers, neighbors and loved ones, and they look at your life, they're watching you, they talk to you, you're talking to them about why it is that you love God and how it is that you're living a Christian life, even when you're going through difficult times. And so Paul says, I'm going to endure for the elect's sake. Who is it that's going to trust Christ because of someone who's enduring like the Apostle Paul? We don't know. We don't know. So your testimony can really resonate with somebody. Your demonstration of grace in troublesome times. How are you living you would encourage others to Christ in the future? In verses 11 and 12, it is a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. So he's talking about the future. We're going to live with him. We're going to reign with him. And so the idea of living and reigning with Christ, the future, that was another motivation or reason that Paul would endure. So with those motivations, with those reasons in mind, I encourage you to know that God enables us to endure. And I'd like to give you three pictures that Paul said we need to know so that we can endure, that God gave to us so that we could comprehend and understand some things when we're going through the troublesome times of life. So how can we endure? Here are three relevant pictures of how we can endure. The first one is in verses 3 through 4, and we find that soldiers, it's a picture of a soldier, soldiers serve. What do soldiers do? They don't serve themselves. They don't serve themselves, they serve the Lord, the one who recruited them. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Our recruiter, the one who signed us up, he's the one that we're trying to please. It's not ourselves. Think about this. When you serve God, when you serve in ministry, when you serve your family, you are serving other people. It's not a selfish motivation. You're in it for the others. You are teaching that class. You are singing that song. You are running that media. You are giving that track, not for yourself, but for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're trying to please Him. Now, the soldier does not entangle himself in the affairs of this life. He's not one that's looking into things that have nothing to do with him. He's not looking for ways to really be kind of captured. He's not looking for traps. He's watching out for traps to not get into. He's aware of his surrounding. He has spiritual awareness. He doesn't get caught up in the drama of life to the neglect of the gospel, to the neglect of actually serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We can get tied up with tradition. We can get tied up with our personal selfish expectations. We can have all these other things that are happening in the world kind of distract us from the mission that God has given to us as good soldiers to propagate the gospel and to disciple those who believe the gospel, to share the good news, and then to build up others, to edify them in the word of truth, in the word of God. Don't be distracted by that. Why are you serving? Why are you doing what you're doing? Well, it's to please the one who recruited us, the one who called us into his spiritual army, if you would, of a soldier. Soldiers of grace, soldiers serve. What a beautiful picture that is. And that's been a theme, soldiers of grace. We want to be good soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ and please Him. Secondly, we find this picture of athletes. Athletes win by playing by the rules. In verse 5, if a man also strive for the mastery, that's someone who is committing his body, his mind, his intellect, everything in an athletic endeavor, he is not crowned. He doesn't win except he strive lawfully. Striving lawfully. When I was a teenager playing on the high school soccer team, I remember going to practices sometimes. We'd run around the building, run around the field, the school building, around the field, a whole long area. We'd run for hours and hours and hours, it seems like. And sometimes the coach would be down at one end of the field, and then by the time you get up and around, you couldn't see everybody at all by as big of the space that we were running in. But some of the guys would jump over into the woods and they would just kind of rest. And he'd be like, hey, 20 laps, 20 laps. All right, 20 laps around this entire property. And some guys would maybe do 10 or 5, maybe 15, I don't know. And sometimes guys, it would be hard to smoke. Maybe somebody would see smoke, but they'd have their chewing tobacco or something, or they would just hang out, or they would just go to sleep, or whatever they would do, just sit there and talk. And the conditioning. Listen, there's no shortcuts in the Christian life. So they're taking a shortcut in that example. There's no shortcuts in the Christian life. You know, an athlete, he is mastering his body. He's going to jump higher, throw the ball harder. He's going to leap better. He's going to have more endurance and stamina than other people because he's subjugating his body to this extreme difficulty. And friends, there's no shortcut to that. If you want to be a Christian who is strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, listen, there's no shortcuts to being a spiritual Christian. There's going to be difficulties, things that God uses in our life to mold us, to make us, to shape us, to become more like Jesus. And no athlete that cheats is going to win, and really win when it comes to God. Now, at the Olympics, you heard sometimes people who were sore losers, they'd be like, well, I think that guy, the reason he swam so fast or the reason she ran so fast was because they were doping. They had some kind of, enhancement medicine or treatment, and that really helped them. And that really would make a second guessing of if they played fair or not. You know, sometimes even today, you have people getting hormone treatments and they're changing who they are and trying to compete. That stuff's not fair. All right, if you're going to win in the Christian life, there are no shortcuts. This is a spiritual battle that we're in, and there's great difficulty for the soldier, and there's great difficulty for the athlete. Soldiers, they are on the battlefield enduring, and athletes endure, and there are no shortcuts for them. Life is hard. There's going to be moments in the Christian life where God's taking you to the schoolhouse, it seems like, and you're learning some things as an athlete running the race of the Christian life. It's difficult. You may get winded. You want to sit down and rest a little bit. I encourage you to get back up, step back up, take the next step, and keep going, keep walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. Athletes win by playing by the rules. We want to hear God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," when we finish our race of life. And then number three, the third illustration is farmers. Farmers enjoy the harvest first. In verse 6, notice he says, "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." So the farmers enjoy the harvest first. Think about hard work. Hard work pays off. Hard work pays off. When I was young, we had, my grandmother still lives on a farm, but we go out and put in several acres of corn, and it was hard work. Hoeing the rows. Sometimes we'd use a plow. Sometimes we'd use just hoes and tools. And sometimes I'd be driving a tractor. And then at the end of the season, you get the harvest. After a few months, about 90 days for some of the corn. Some corn grows a little bit faster than that. But about 90 days for that Silver Queen corn, we'd go out there and we'd start to harvest that corn. And after waiting for it to grow, after all that work and taking care of it and fertilizing it and seeing the water come, rain come down, we didn't usually water it too much, but just let the rain take care of it. And after all of that, eventually we'd go out there and we'd start to harvest the ears of corn, and then we'd shuck that corn. We'd spend several hours, a few days, sometimes shucking that corn and cutting it off the corn cob and freezing that. Sometimes we'd eat it right off the corn, but we would enjoy just taking that first bite of that Silver Queen corn. Oh, it tasted good. Real sweet. Kind of white kernels there, silver kernels. Tasted really good. You know, it's only right that a farmer could taste some of his fruit before everybody else. That's what Paul is saying here. It's a good thing. He's going to enjoy it first. So what this tells us is a farmer who endures, he succeeds. And he gets to taste some of his success. Before anybody else may see it, he tastes the success for himself. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 10 tells us, "Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope." Why is the farmer farming? Why is the one harvesting, threshing, and getting the food prepared from the stalk to where you can get it ready to store or put it on the table? Well, it's because of hope. He's believing he's going to be able to enjoy the fruit of his labor. And friends, as farmers for Christ, planting a seed of the gospel and nurturing those around us to love Jesus and to know the Bible more, we have the same hope. You have the same hope today. Farmers enjoy the harvest first. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. "For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned." You know, a faithful farmer, he's making sure he's sowing good seed. He's making sure that he's getting the weeds out, and there's going to be a harvest that takes place. And this is a blessing from God. Anytime you hear of a young person believing the gospel because of Vacation Bible School or because of Awana or Kids Life, we all should rejoice. Anytime you hear about one of our church members leading a family member or a friend, or at the end of a church service or revival meeting or something, you hear good news, somebody trusted Christ, we all should rejoice in that and be very thankful. We can rejoice now, and when we get to heaven, we'll also rejoice when we see the persons that we led to Christ, or as a collective effort that we were able to see. When we see and hear of missionaries sharing the gospel and churches planted, we share in that victory as well, as the Word of God has been planted in a region and in the soil of somebody's hearts. Whether that's here or somebody else, we should rejoice in that. Farmers enjoy the harvest first. Athletes win by playing by the rules, and soldiers serve. All of this is by God's grace. Friends, God has enabled us. When Sir Ernest Shackleton was navigating through the dangerous ice packs with only about 100 miles left in a journey, he made a decision to stop and wait for the ice floes to break, the ice packs that were surrounding the ship. Well, they didn't break. In fact, it got colder, and the ice surrounded the ship, and so much so that it crushed the Endurance. And so for the next 10 months, they lived aboard that ship and aboard the ice surrounding it. And gradually, the ship just totally crumbled under the weight of the ice. Gradually then, as his men were trying to find a way to safety, they carried minimal supplies and dragged 3 lifeboats. Eventually, they just got down to 1 lifeboat, and they sailed off the island or off the ice in an attempt to find land. Surviving in perilous conditions, they finally landed on the island of Elephant Island, a deserted island. Here they are, stranded on this island with no hope of rescue. Shackleton and 4 others set sail in 1 lifeboat in an effort to reach the island of South Georgia. On South Georgia, there was 1 little fisherman-type settlement. And so they were hoping to get there. Well, 800 miles later, they end up, but they're on the wrong side of the island. And so they have to travel in hurricane-type winds. They go up and over and through and over these mountains, and it was a 36-hour hike. They just kept going and going and going, and by God's grace, they made it there. And here's what Shackleton said of his crossing over South Georgia Island after the 800 miles of traveling, after being stranded for many, many, many months. He said, "I know that during that long and racking march of 36 hours over the unnamed mountains of South Georgia, it seemed to me often that there were 4, not 3, men with us. I said nothing to my companions, but afterwards, Worsley," he said to him, this is one of his navigators and crew chief guys, he said, "Boss, it seemed to me like there was another person with us during that whole journey." Well, I don't know about that, but I tell you, he was a man. These were men who loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have some promises in Scripture about the Lord and the Holy Spirit. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Friends, as soldiers, as athletes, and as farmers, in all the difficulty we're facing, we are never alone. God will see us through. He's enabled us, empowered us. He's equipped us to endure. Let's endure the trouble times that we're facing today. Thanks for watching. Please take some time to answer these questions and then pray with your group. God bless.